message I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart. I'll be quite honest with you, I have preached this before, and it's kind of hard to get messages together when you're spending 18 hours a day on radio marathons. But I'll be quite honest with you, I feel like without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord laid this on my heart to preach in this assembly this morning. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you as we do our best to try to preach it and as God has given it to us. It's nothing outstanding, I'm sure of that. But I think it's what God would have for us to have this morning. And I believe there's a lesson there that we can all learn if we'll just put our ear to the heart of Jesus and listen to Him whisper into our soul the good Word of God. Psalm 65 in your Bible, please. Psalm 65 in your Bible. Psalm 65 in your Bible. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away." Hallelujah. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Thy terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people." Now may the Lord add His richest blessings upon that reading of Scripture in Psalm 65 this morning. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Our Heavenly Father, I have certainly enjoyed the good music today. I've enjoyed the fellowship with God's people and enjoyed the privilege of being in the house of God. I want to thank you for the privilege this morning of preaching. I pray that you'll help us now. There's hearts and needy lives and families here today that stand in great need. And Lord, there's no help in the sepulcher of self. There's nothing in me, Lord, in my own person that can provide help. But the Spirit of God, He that is the agent of conviction and conversion, He that is the comforter that's been shed abroad in our heart, is able to help, comfort, strengthen, establish us in the faith, and give us, Lord, what we need for this hour. I do pray for sinners to be saved and for a good work of God in reviving your people to be done. We thank you for the marathon, the work and the labor done on it. Thank you for the money that was given, for those that faithfully give and labored with us. And Lord, I pray now that you'll bless me with power and with liberty as we do our best to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm sure that if you've done any study in the Word of God, that you will readily recognize that Psalm 65 is a psalm of prayer. For it says in verse number 2, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And so it is a psalm of prayer. And again, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. May I say it is a grand and a glorious privilege to be able to approach a living God. And we approach Him not on our own merits of righteousness, but we approach Him by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He has opened up a new and a living way that leads behind the veil where we may enter in into the presence of God. And it's not just for a season of prayer. It is a lifestyle of living behind that veil in the presence of God. And it's there that we make our requests and our petitions known unto the Lord. In fact, He mentioned in the last verse that I read that God is able to still the noise of the seas. He's able to stop the raging of the sea and the noise of their waves, that is, the waves of the sea. And He's also able to still the turmoil of the people. And I'll tell you, there's people today that's in great turmoil in America. I'm talking about people that are disturbed internally and spiritually in America today. There's men whose hearts are failing them because of fear. But God is able to steal every heart. And that means God's able to bring peace and tranquility to every soul of mankind. And He's able to do that. Bless His wonderful name. I don't care what kind of situation your life is in today and how chaotic your situation may appear to you, God is able, as He stilled the waves of the sea, to still your soul as well and send a calm over your life. Amen, and make you or cause you to rejoice in the Lord. And we also recognize from verse number 5 that it is a psalm of prayer. That's where I want to take my text from this morning. He said, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation." Now, if you can get a hold of that, "By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us." In other words, God answers our prayers by things that appear to us to be terrible. Come on in the house now. They appear to be terrible. I want to preach this morning, and I preach this, but as my hand of God is a witness, the Holy Ghost, earlier in the week, even on Tuesday, God said, "This is what I want for Sunday morning." And I want to preach today for a little while on terrible answers to prayer. I want to begin by saying that we never learn by being taught what we already know. That's absolutely right. We don't teach children in school in the first grade all of their life. Right. They do not learn by being taught what they already know. But we got to be taught the things that are above us. And I want to stop right there and say that a lazy mind and a lazy heart, spiritually speaking, will never learn a great deal about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we will never learn things, or we'll never learn by being taught what we already know. I want to say, secondly, by way of introduction, that knowledge only comes by opposition. If you think you're going to learn spiritual things by just sitting back and thinking that they're just going to flow to you without you putting any effort into it at all, you are badly mistaken. And I learned a long time ago that I learned a whole lot, not only in spiritual life, but in my own natural life as well, that I learned things by opposition. I left my little tractor and my little leaf blower outside all winter long. And we went out to get her cranked up the other day, and the tractor started, and the leafer wouldn't start. And Brother Doug filled it up with new gas. It still wouldn't start. The young boys come over, and we got to looking around. We took the little thing off the float, and all the gas came out. And one of the little boys said, "Look, Papa, it's got water in it." And we let all the gas run out. And then one of the little boys said, "Look, Papa, there's ice frozen down inside the gas tank." And we had to take a hairdryer and a rag and a screwdriver and get all that cleaned out before that thing would ever run. Somebody said, "What are you saying?" Well, that was really a problem in my life at the time because I was in a hurry. But when they said the other night that it was going to rain and that the temperature was going to drop below freezing, you know what I done? I found something in the garage, ran out there, covered up the gas tank of that thing. I said, "Lord, I'm not going through that again." And so I learned that little lesson by opposition. Now I'm here to tell you that everything that you learn in life spiritually, you will learn by opposition. That's why the Bible said here that by terrible things in righteousness, the Lord will answer us. That is, God will answer our prayers by terrible things that will still be righteous things in our life. What about that? Hallelujah. God is a prayer answering God. God is a prayer answering God. And He answers our prayers. The Lord teaches us new truths to live by. Dr. Jones preaches on truths to live by. Now I'm going to tell you, you didn't learn everything the day you got saved. And you'll probably go to the grave not knowing everything. I know there's a whole lot of folks think they know it all, but I'm here to tell you that none of us have arrived. I'm telling you, Christ is far more glorious and far more precious than our hearts could ever imagine. And I'll tell you, His thoughts and ways are not ours. And He is beyond finding out, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you one thing, that it would bring great joy to your life if you'd get in that Bible and study it for yourself and get on your knees and ask God to help you and let God answer your prayers by showing you terrible things in righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Amen, that's right. Now we know that He's a prayer answering God. "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us." It's not a problem of will God answer my prayer. I've heard folks say, "I've been praying for years and God's not answered my prayer." What they're really saying is, "I've been praying for years and God's not done for me what I want done. The way I want it done." But just because it's not done the way you think it ought to be done does not mean that God has not answered your prayer. Amen. We're looking on the cream puff street, ladies and gentlemen. We want the easy trail to take. We want a hole in the row that don't have many weeds. But I'm telling you, you're not going to learn much that way. And mark it down, every prayer you pray, God will answer that prayer in one way or another. And it's up to us to be spiritual enough to search out the matter and find out exactly how God has answered that prayer and what God wants us to know about it. I'm going to get into some here in a minute. Hallelujah. For Him to hear, we got to pray. That's simple, isn't it? If God hears our prayers, He can't hear a prayer that we don't pray. Did James not say we have not because we ask not? God can't answer something for you that you don't ask for. Ask and you shall. S-H-A-L-L. And somebody said the other day that shall is the strongest word of affirmation in the Word of God. God shall. Ask and ye shall receive. Not maybe. You shall receive. And you have not because you ask not. Oh, praise God. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But maybe we're looking for an answer in the wrong place, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe God has answered your prayer and you've just not found out the right place where His answer to that. Amen. So if we want Him to hear, we got to pray. And if we pray, God hears. And if He hears, we know that we have those things that we ask of Him. Somebody said, do you have scripture for that? Sure do. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Praise God. Anything, pray to Him the will of God, God hears. And we've got a confidence that tells us that if God hears our prayer in the will of God, that we have that thing that God, that we want from God. I want to ask something. Is it God's will for your children to be saved? Come on in the house. You know it's God's will for your children to be saved. Amen. So if it's God's will, the only reason they won't be is because you don't ask. That's right. Somebody said, mine's going astray. Yeah, but the fat lady's not saying yet, folks. This thing ain't over yet. Pardon the expression, it ain't over to the last out. God ain't done yet. I'm telling you, as long as we're here and there's breath in our lungs, there's hope. Because God's went nowhere. He still sits on a sovereign throne of righteousness. And He holds the hearts of kings in His hands. And He is able to turn their heart whithersoever He listeth. God is able to provide for you and I. Save our children. Bless our families. Bless our homes. And bless our church. If we'll pray and ask Him for it. God will do it. Better believe He will. He'll save lost wives, lost husbands, lost children. Amen. That's right. I still personally believe, don't anybody throw eggs at me, I believe God's able to touch ailing bodies and heal them. Somebody said, how do you know He can do that? Because He's God. Amen. And He didn't put James 5 in the Bible just to take up space. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm not Oral Roberts now. I'm not Benny Hinn. But I believe that Bible. Now I'm telling you, that book says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save or deliver the sick. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write that. That's what God said. Amen. Now He may use a doctor to do that, but He'll do it. Come on now. He may do it miraculously. But He may use a doctor. Amen. Now, there's public prayer. It'll get things done, but not a lot. But I'll tell you, there is private prayer that'll get the job done. Better believe it will. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." God help a man that all he wants to do is pray to be seen of somebody. Out in public, where he can get a pat on the back. My, wasn't that a pretty prayer? I don't know whether it was pretty or not. I read where a publican in here just smote himself on the chest and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And most folks today would say, "Boy, he didn't get much done." But I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. He went home justified. Amen. It wasn't a very pretty prayer and a long prayer, but he went home justified. God heard him. Amen. Now, verily I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You don't have to brag about God answering your prayers, folks. If you're praying and God's answering them, God will do the bragging for you by showing it openly that it's been done. You ought to brag. Right. In fact, we don't have much to brag about. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody listening? Charles Spurgeon said, "God's memorial is that He hears prayer. And His glory is that He answers it in a manner fitted to inspire awe in the hearts of His people." Amen. God always answers prayer in a way that will inspire us and cause us to stand in awe at a mighty God. Amen. To reverence Him and love Him and respect Him and to praise Him. I'm going to tell you why we don't have any praise anymore in here. We're not praying in here. And if there's no praying in here, there's no answering prayers in here. And if there's no answering prayers, there is nothing to praise God about. On in the house now. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. He said the saints in the commencement of this psalm offered praise in reverential silence. And now in the awe-stricken spirit, they receive answers to their prayers. Amen. They stood in silence before a holy God. And they stood the same way with their mouths gapped open when God done what they... In other words, He really done it. You ever had that done? Pray and say, "He really done it." It shocks people. It oughtn't to shock us. When God does for us in that book what He says He'll do. Now come on in the house and listen to me. God answers prayer, but not always in the way that we think He should. We pray and ask God for sanctification. You know what happens? Trials come. Terrible answers to prayers. "Oh God, make me holy." You'll never be holy without being tried. Because it's the trials that will purge. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying today? We'll pray and say, "God, I want to be holy." But when the fire begins to burn, we cry, "God, I really didn't want to be as holy as what I thought I did." Terrible answers to prayers. We seek more faith. Guess what happens? Affliction comes. "Lord, I wanted more faith, but I certainly didn't want to have to come down with this physical handicap I got." I'm not so crazy about the physical problems I've got. They've slowed me way down. But I'm still growing. And I'd say God probably knew I needed to slow down or I wouldn't make it very long. I'm going as hard as I can go, but God's answered my prayer in a terrible way. He ain't letting me go as fast as I want to go. I'd like to be jumping pews, but I'm going to tell you something. My pew jumping days are over. Somebody said the other night, said, Brother Hall, you think you could take a lap? I said, sure, but I'd have to crawl. But I may take one on my hands and knees.
Yeah.
Come on in the house now.
Yeah.
But I pray and ask God, Lord, let me burn as long as I can in America and preach just as long as this body will let me. And God said, all right, I'll give you an affliction, Brother Hall, and I'll slow you down, Brother Hall, to where you can do that for me. Then when it came, I said, Lord, what's the matter with me? They won't nobody listen to me preach no more. God said, you foolish boy. You asked for it and I gave it to you in a way that you never dreamed it would happen. That's right. Hallelujah. We pray for spreading the gospel and you know what happens? God persecutes us. Nevertheless, it is good to ask on, for nothing which the Lord grants in His love can do us any harm. Hallelujah to God. I want to run that by you again. There's nothing in God's love that God will do for you that will cause you any harm. It will always turn out for your good and God's glory and will always help you and bless you along the way. What a God. Hallelujah. I'm not so sure I can't run. Woo! Amen to God. That's right. Thank God. Terrible, terrible things will turn out to be blessed things after all when they come from the answer of prayer. God answers our prayer and they seem terrible, but in the long run, they're good and they're blessed for us.
Amen.
Y'all believe God laid this on my heart? Got all kind of liberty. I could mount something down on my head for one or two this morning. We're just as quiet as a church mouse. Everybody, Brother Jerome, that ain't bothering me a bit today. I can just spring around, mount something down on my head, crawl under the pews. I want to get you to pray it. I ask the people at work here, what can we do? What in the world can we do to get God back the way we need Him? And the answer came from every one of them. Prayer!
Amen.
Prayer and revival! Prayer and revival! That's the only way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, I think when I give you this first point, I believe you'll understand why God laid this on my heart. Terrible answers to God's prayer. Anybody in here ever pray that God would let you love other people? Lord, let me love people. If you haven't, you need to. For God is love and Jesus loved people. And God wants us to love people. Now you would think that if I'd say, Lord, let me help me to love people. Whammo! All God have to do is whammo and the change takes place and I love everybody. Don't happen that way, folks. It don't happen, whammo! No, sir. God will answer that prayer, but it will not be whammo. I'll assure you of that. The Lord will answer you by possibly sending enemies into your life. May I say to you, that come on in the house now, you cannot love somebody with a heart of hatred. I don't care who you are. You cannot love somebody with a heart of hatred. And God said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And I'm telling you, if you want to love people, God will send enemies into your life to teach you to love your enemies. And if you can learn to love your enemies, you'll have no problem loving those that love you. Praise God, we got a problem loving people that love us. Come on, you know I'm telling it right. It's hard to love people that love us. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. That's right. Buddy, I'll tell you, you cannot love somebody unless you overcome hatred. I don't care who it is. That's right. Many times in our spiritual warfare, those who offend us and withstand us become our enemies. But we got to learn to love them. Ahithophel was David's counselor. Ahithophel was an old familiar friend. Ahithophel sat at David's table and ate with David. But when Absalom rose up in rebellion, ladies and gentlemen, Ahithophel rose up with him and went away from David. I'm going to tell you something. David is the one that wrote this psalm. And David had to learn to love his enemies. Somebody said, oh, David couldn't have loved his enemies. His son rose up against him and led a rebellion that carried the majority of Israel away from David, even drove him out of Jerusalem, out away from the temple, out into the wilderness, and set him at naught with his own boy. And his own boy would have killed him if he had had the chance. I'm telling you, Absalom would have cut David's head off for the kingdom if he had got a chance. But when David learned that boy was dead, he cried, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Absalom, my son. Would to God it had been me, Absalom, my son, my son. And he wept so hard that Joab said, if you don't shut up your squalling and crying, all Israel will be turned away from you and the second part will be worse than the first. And he had to find composure and realize that God had answered his prayer with a terrible answer. And I'm telling you, it may have cost him the friendship of Ahithophel. It may have cost him the love of his own son. To realize that God wants us to love those that hate us. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that's not easy to do, friend. Amen. If you think it is, you're not swift.
Amen.
Don't tell me you got it conquered. Three. I know better. Amen. Three. I'm going to tell you one thing that Baptists are going to have to learn. Come on now. When there's a falling out with somebody, don't mean you stop loving them.
Amen.
We're going to have to learn that falling out with people ought to break our heart.
Amen.
And because they have fell out, does not mean that our heart hates them.
Amen.
God may do things of that nature to cause, to answer our prayers, to bring that into our path, to cause us to learn how to love those that despise you and I. And I'm not talking about loving the devil. And I'm not talking about loving sin. And I'm not talking about loving Antichrist. And I'm not talking about loving false prophets. And I'm not talking about condoning sin. When Judas Iscariot walked up and kissed Jesus, he said, "Betrayest, friend, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?"
Amen.
He led an insurrection against his own Lord.
And Jesus called him friend.
Amen.
Terrible answers to prayers. Lord, help me to love, folks. Get ready. Opposition is coming. You'll never learn how to love, without something opposing you that you're going to have to overcome. I'm preaching good preaching to you. You may not know it, but I'm telling you, I'm preaching good preaching to you this morning. Amen. You must learn to love them, and the Lord will use our enemies to teach us the greatest virtue in all the Bible. That's love. Charity. It's easy to love my children. It's easy to love my young ones at home when they were little and walked the dog. But I'm going to tell you, when they got disobedient and rebelled against me, I had to learn to love them in their rebellion. I had to do right. I put one out of the house and had to. Because they wouldn't do right. But I'm telling you, my heart never ceased to love her.
Amen.
Better believe that's right.
Amen.
On in the house, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You know what the word enemies there means? Somebody that's hostile, somebody that's offensive to the senses. It literally means somebody that is disgusting. You ever been around somebody that their attitude and their ways just disgust you?
Amen.
You've learned to love them. You've done something wonderful.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what that overcoming that does. It conquers the flesh. It overcomes hatred. It produces a Christ-like love. And it'll have a great reward. Somebody said, oh, you mean there's reward for that? Absolutely. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you?
Amen.
Do not even the publicans the same? I believe you could say there in the opposite poll, if you love those that don't love you, there's some kind of a reward in store for you.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Are you all alive?
Yeah.
Not just preaching to the ceiling. Now, secondly, Lord, I want liberty. You better listen carefully. I'm telling you that your liberty is one of the most prized possessions of life. I'd rather have a job that didn't produce tons of money, but would provide a living and yet give me liberty, then I would be tied up on something 7 or 8 days a week that I had no liberty to go to church or anything else.
Amen.
Liberty is wonderful. I remember Steve years ago, and we said, preacher, said, what's one of the best things? You think that I ought to work for somebody or just work for myself? He said, I'm making pretty good money working on these automobiles. I said, Brother Steve, if you can work on automobiles and make a living, stay at it! He said, well, why? I said, because when it comes a day you want to go to a camp meeting and you don't want to work on a car, lock the door and go to camp meeting. Liberty, friend. And I'm going to tell you what God might do. You might pray and ask God for liberty, and you know what He might do? He might entangle you in the wilderness. Oh, somebody said, preacher, surely not. Israel cried for deliverance. They begged God for deliverance. Now I'm telling you, hey, and God gave them that deliverance. But where did He lead them? Right into the wilderness, and they became entangled into the wilderness. They went a 3-day journey into the wilderness of Shur and found no water. They got liberty and they started to complain about God. But God's teaching them a lesson. They wanted liberty. And you'll never understand. You'll never really have liberty until you understand what it's all about. And by the way, I'm not saying that to give you a license not to work.
No work, no food. God made man to work. Almost a cuss word in our day. Now I'll tell you, if you're a freeloader in the world, you'll be a freeloader spiritually. When God called Elijah, he was praying with 12 yoke oxen. Working. Well, I want to do something for God. Well, get off your lazy hind end and do it. Hallelujah. Amen and thank you. That's right. Now, don't get mad at me. But I'm here to tell you, I busted Ricky's hind end back there over and over and over again in this church. But I'm going to tell you what he done. He continued to go home and get up at 3:30 every morning and never missed a church service in the house of God because of it.
Great preacher.
Amen. I've said there's going to have to be sacrifice made in these days for God's people to be right with God. Hey, and you can't have liberty by being entangled again in the world. Come on in the house. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness of Shur. Went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water, and they were entangled there that they might be tested. Well, they wanted liberty, but they found it in the wilderness of entanglement. Somebody said, well, why did God do that? I'm going to tell you why he done it. God's just defeating me on it. I'm going to tell you why God entangled them in the wilderness. It made Canaan look a whole lot better. God tangles you up and binds you up. Amen. It'll make living on the other side of the Jordan River look a whole lot better in a land where there's milk and honey flowing. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get beside myself. Praise God. Bless His wonderful name. I'm glad. Thank God I'm living on the other side where the grapes of Esco flow. Hallelujah. Where there's milk and honey. Somebody said there's giants of honey. Oh yeah, there's a $28,000 bill to pay off. But thanks be unto God. God's still on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a blessing to live on the other side. Amen. Sometimes God does things like that to make other things that He wants you to have look sweeter. Can you imagine when they stood on Jordan and some of them old boys had been young children said, praise God, fellas, there it is. We've been wandering in this wilderness for 40 years. There it is! One of them may have said, you know, we're going to have to fight for it. Oh, yeah, but praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, anything beats wandering around out here. Anything beats... You know what somebody told me the other day? Who was it? Was telling me. Somebody told me that they went coon hunting, I believe. Said they walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. Said finally one of them said, hey, I believe we passed this same tree about an hour ago. They walked and walked and so I said, hey, I'm telling you, fellas, that's the same tree we passed two hours ago. And again now, here it is again. Passed it an hour ago, 2 hours. He said, say what we're doing, we're walking in circles. So they said, let's just sit down and wait for daylight. And they sat down and waited for daylight, and they was 35 feet from the highway. That's the way it was with Israel. They just walked in circles, and Canaan was just in sight.
And they should have been there, somebody said, in 14 days, and it took them 40 years to learn the lesson that freedom, freedom, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And son, freedom is worth something to you.
Amen.
I won't say thirdly. Find my Dollar Tree glasses.
Amen.
We pray for patience. Or do you? God says you want patience. Very well, I'll answer that prayer. And here comes tribulation. God, I didn't ask for tribulation. I asked for patience. Oh, yes. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience. You cannot be a patient person and wait upon the Lord and mount up with wings as eagles without patience. And you're not going to have patience without problems.
Right.
And letting God work you through those problems.
Amen.
As being heirs together of the grace of life.
Amen.
As being one flesh.
Right.
They claim to be one flesh.
Right.
Oh, thanks be unto God. And your very tribulation may be sleeping right beside of you. Whoop! And we're having fun now.
Yeah.
Your tribulation may be your own family. But I'm telling you that patience will come soon.
Amen.
And when God has answered that prayer in a terrible way, it will result in blessings in your life.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to preach to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You hear me well when I say what I'm getting ready to tell you. As a husband and wife, and learning to be patient with one another,
right?
The poojies won't work, friend.
Amen.
Well, I just won't speak to you. Baby. You little baby. I'm telling you, a man and wife get mad enough at each other, they can't talk to each other, buddy. They got problems. Come on in the house. It don't bother me a bit to preach to you like that. I'm telling you exactly like it is.
Amen.
I grew out of that stage with my wife a long time ago, buddy.
Amen.
Pray that you might be happy. You know what the Lord might do to you? He might send discouragement. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Do what?
Amen.
Lord, I pray to be happy. I'm giving it to you.
Amen.
But you're going to fall into divers temptations. That's what's going to give you joy.
Amen.
Terrible answers to prayer.
Amen.
Come on now, help me out. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Amen.
You want joy? You've got to overcome temptation. Some of those temptations may include rebuke. I've been taking some medicine. The doctor's trying to get me to switch some medicine. It took me off of the medicine. And it's made me just a tad bit irritable, Brother Teague. And I asked my wife, I said, when I asked you what you think about this medicine, and she told me, I said, boy, that's some answer. And I'm being honest now. It didn't last long now, maybe 25 seconds. I said, I am fed up with that. And she said, what? I said, I'm fed up with your attitude toward me and fussing at me. She said, honey, you just asked me a question. And I stopped and scratched my head and I said, sweetheart, I am sorry. You're exactly right. You just asked me a question. Now, I'm telling you, I could have went. She don't love me. She don't love me because she told me right. And what I thought was wrong was right. That gives me a right to blow up. Now don't hold that against me. You bunch of pie-sake suckers has done the same thing. You know he has. You can put on a pretty good front around the church. We're good Baptists. Huh? Facade. We all have those times. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to learn real joy and happiness and you prayed for it, get ready. Trials and temptations are on the way. And they're coming in a manifold. That means many. Manifold temptations. Amen. Whole lot of them. Yes. And we have fun. I better close. We pray for faith. And what do you think God sends? When Peter was out on that storm, the storm came. Peter got out walking on the water. And he saw that water boisterous. The Bible says he was afraid. Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. Come on, Peter. Oh, but I'm afraid. You wanted faith. Climb out in the deep, Peter. But I'm telling you, if you want faith, there's going to be obstacles up in front of you that is going to bring fear into your life. I told Miss Hall last night, I said, well, I guess it's humble pie for me. She said, what do you mean? I said, baby, I didn't get $25,000 givers to pay off that note at the bank. So I'm going to have to climb up there and eat humble pie. She said, well, it'll be all right. I said, what if that man gets upset and angry at me? He's give us a 90 day. I mean, what am I going to say? Now, I want faith. And here I am afraid of a banker that owe a little bit of money to. Now you've got to overcome. I'm just telling you, faith is somewhere in your life that's got to overcome fear. That's the reason some of you can't take the step out and live by faith. You're afraid of what's out there. You're afraid of what's out there. If God's in it, there's nothing to fear. Nothing. The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear?
Yep.
And whom shall I be afraid of? What David said. Though I'm compassed about with a great host, whom shall I fear? Nobody. And I'm going to tell you why. Chariots of fire. There's more for us than they are against us. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Take that nasty plunge. Praise God. And get out there in faith where God can do something for you.
Amen.
God will help you. Just believe God. Trust Him for something, church. Pray and don't be afraid when these answers come that are contrary to what you thought they were going to be. Because God will be blessing you through it all. Let's stand together, please.